Hello, everyone, and welcome back for a new episode on the Energetically Her podcast. I'm Kayla, and I'm so happy that you're here with us. This was such a fun podcast episode to record for all of you because I was joined by this incredible guest. She is a human design and astrology expert, and she specializes in utilizing your unique chart and leveraging your uniqueness to help you build, create, and grow not only a soul-led business, but help you make more money and really leverage your own unique gifts and strengths and abilities into creating the most purpose-filled and fulfillment life possible. It's truly incredible what she has to offer. So Megan Sen talks about so many things in today's episode, from where to look in your human design chart to manifest more money, how to spot some money blocks, how to really own your uniqueness and your strengths as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, and living in your purpose. She talks about how to make aligned decisions, how to boost your confidence, and also what being out of alignment feels like for each individual energy type, and so much more. This is such a good episode, so be sure to save this for later. Come back to re-listen, take some notes, send this to a friend, send this to someone in your life, share it on your Instagram story, and tag me and Megan so we can see you watching in real time and catch up with all of you. And you're going to love this episode. Let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to the Energetically Her podcast. I am your host, Kayla Langhoff, entrepreneur, women's coach, and dog mom. I am obsessed with showcasing the power of merging energetics and mindset to transform your life. If you are ready to start living your dream reality, to feel energized, unstoppable, and become a vibrational match for everything that you want, then this podcast is for you. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose for all things mindset, healing, manifestation, personal development, and so much more to become your version of Energetically Her. With brand new episodes out each week, I am so excited that you're here. Now let's get into the show. Megan, can you share with everyone a little bit of your origin story and how you discovered astrology and human design?
Yeah, so I was always interested in astrology since I was a kid reading like 17 magazine and like Cosmo, and they have the horoscopes in it. So I was always interested in that because I was always interested in like learning about myself and like learning how I best work or how I best learn, or just like I was always the type taking like personality quizzes and stuff like that. And then when I graduated college and knew that I wanted to pursue like being my own boss, having a business, stuff like that, that's when I got introduced to human design. And like most people, I looked at it and was like, what is this? This is so confusing. And I like didn't look at it again until I would say another like year and a half, when I was a few months into my business and I just felt really stuck and frustrated and felt like there wasn't really a way of doing business that I felt really worked for me that was being taught to me. And I knew that there had to be a better way of going about it. And human design like came back up in my path. And I was like, maybe this is the answer. And I like looked into it and it changed everything. And I haven't looked back since.
Wow, that is amazing. When you were younger, as you were going through, like, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I was also just so intrigued of like, oh yeah, tell me what a Sagittarius is good at or what it's meant for. But it's funny because when I would look at them, a lot of what it would say, it wouldn't resonate with me. Okay. Was there any ever times where you were looking at stuff and you're like, that is just like, that does not fit with how I see myself, or yeah, I'm not at that point yet?
Yeah, especially because I'm a Sagittarius too. So like a lot of times I would look at things like being really loud and like a party animal, can't commit to anything, or especially when it came to like love stuff about Sagittarius, like, oh, you're scared of commitment and like you don't want just one person. I was like, I'm the complete opposite of that. And so when I started learning about like truly studying astrology and like more than just your sun sign, then I realized like, oh yeah, I'm a Pisces rising. So like, I'm going to be more reserved than maybe like a different Sagittarius, or I have a Scorpio Venus in the seventh house. I really like commitment and just that one person and like really, you know, all or nothing in relationships type of thing. So learning about my entire birth chart as a whole and not just going off of my sun sign really explained all the gaps of like why certain parts of being a Sagittarius didn't resonate with me.
Right. Absolutely. I remember it would say something about like, you're very spontaneous, as I'm looking at my calendar that has like every half hour penciled in of like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. So it's really interesting. Out of the two, out of human design and astrology, do you have a favorite or do you love to just utilize them both and the strengths that they offer someone working with like their business or just being the most efficient and really owning their gifts?
I really love both because they also tie in together because human design does involve astrology. So you kind of like have to use like, especially if you're doing human design at some point you're going to have to get into astrology, but I really love both. They kind of like rule my life now. I always say that astrology is kind of like the what and the why, and the human design is the how.
Okay, I love that. How would you describe human design for someone who's new, who doesn't really know what that is?
Yeah, so you can think of human design, it's a fairly new system compared to a lot of the other systems and tools and modalities that we see in the spiritual space. It was created in the 80s and it basically just combines a lot of older systems. So like it combines astrology, the Chinese I Ching system, the chakra system, all those different things into this one system that kind of basically gives you like the energetic blueprint of you and your soul in this lifetime and like how you best work, how you best, you know, move throughout your daily life, how to like be the most aligned version of yourself, and like everything from regulating your nervous system to manifesting to how to eat best. Like it really can help you understand like on an energetic level what you need to thrive as a human in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that so much. When I discovered it probably 1 or 2 years ago, I, you know, you sign up online through one of the websites or you get like Jenna's app, and it's only so limited on what it can show because there's so many different layers to it. And on one point, I found myself on a page being like, define centers, open centers. I was like, this is too far. Hold on, pump the brakes because it's a lot of information and it's so cool to even have this permission to decondition yourself of like, thinking that I have to be this way or things have to be in this capacity or I have to do that. It's about coming home to yourself and what works best for you. How are you created in a way, which is so cool to just have that confidence to be like, oh, it's okay. If someone wants to do this, that might be best for them, but this way is going to work better for me.
Yeah.
Out of the whole entire chart, since there's so many like details and nuances, what would you say the most important parts of it is?
Yeah, so this is what I call, like in astrology, you have your big three. So this is what I call your human design big three. It's your energy type, your strategy, and your authority. That's kind of the most important part. If you only learned that part of your human design and you didn't learn any other part, you would be pretty good. You would probably be in alignment with the rest of your chart without having to know the rest of your chart if you just use those three. And I also teach it as those three are kind of like a filter that even if you're working with a different energy center or a gate or a channel, you're going to filter it through your strategy and your authority to still use it in alignment. Those are kind of like the three basic parts that are the most important to work with.
Okay. Are you open to sharing what your strategy and authority is and how you use it best for how you've created your successful business and how you live your life now?
Yeah. So I'm a generator. So that makes my strategy waiting to respond. And then my authority is an emotional authority. So I also have to ride out my emotional wave to make decisions. So that the emotional authority part has helped me in a lot of ways to one, not make impulsive decisions anymore, because I used to get like, you know, I'd be in an emotional high and like I would feel excited about something and I'd like make the decision and then like the time would come and I'd be like, I don't feel like the same about it anymore and I don't want to do this anymore. it's also really helped me learn how to detach my emotions from my business. So like understanding that even though I am a generator and I have all this energy, that like my emotional wave also dictates my energy levels. Sometimes I just wake up and I'm in a bad mood, or I'm feeling sad or feeling emotionally low, and that's normal for me. And like, one, to not push myself to show up in my normal energy levels like I used to do. And I felt like my energy had to be consistent every day, or else like I was going to be behind or something like that. And also to not attach emotional meaning to my business, because I used to like wake up in those bad moods or something like that and then be like, oh, it must be because I haven't gotten a client in like a week or something like that. And now I'm not going to get a client like today. Or I would like let my emotions kind of dictate things like that before. And now like that I understand that part about my human design, it really helps me make like emotionally aligned decisions, but also helps me not make my business something emotional. And then for my strategy of waiting to respond, so not initiating and not hustling, but waiting to respond to things that light me up and feel good, has helped me like really simplify my business, really make sure that I'm doing things that I want to do and not doing things that I think I should do, which has made my business a lot more fun, a lot more sustainable, and makes everything I do in my business work better, because every time I do something in my business, it's actually something that I want to do and that lights me up, not something that I think I should do because so-and-so said that this is the best way to run your business or to market an offer or something like that. And so it's made everything just a lot more energetically sustainable and fun and aligned for what works specifically for me.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said that. So would you say that if someone's feeling overwhelmed or burnt out in like their business, that maybe they would best serve by like having a refresher of like what their authority and their strategy is, to kind of stay more in touch with creating it how it works for them and not other people?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's kind of what you would want to go back to, is like, if you're feeling frustrated, or like each energy type has what's called a not self theme. So that's kind of like your red flag that like, you're doing something that's not in alignment, you should maybe take a step back and look at things. So like, if you're a generator or a manifesting generator, that would look like feeling frustrated in your business. If you're a projector, that would look like feeling bitterness in your business. If you're a manifester, that would look like feeling angry in your business. And then for a reflector, it would look like feeling disappointed. So then that's when, if you're feeling those things, you want to take a step back and use your strategy and authority and look at, where am I not doing things in alignment with my strategy and authority, or what things are creating this feeling in my business? And then how can I use my strategy and authority to realign those things so that it feels in alignment and I stop feeling burnt out or frustrated and all that stuff?
Okay, right. Because a business is supposed to be, especially this next wave of younger, like women that are entrepreneurs, we're doing this because we feel called, whether it's from a soul contract or whatever. We have this inclination of like, I don't want to be doing something because someone told me when I was 7, like, oh, you're going to go to college, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. It's like, we have this uniqueness about following that inner voice. And I think it's so cool how many women are jumping into human design and astrology and like learning more about their charts from experts and figuring out like, how can I serve myself best and feel good about what I'm doing on like a daily basis, to where you can have a business, you can be a CEO, but it can be fun. It doesn't have to be like this force and shove and pressure that a lot of us have been conditioned to believe, you know?
Yeah. And I think like, especially in the online business space, where a lot of us are online or on social media a lot for our business, it's really easy to get conditioned with, you know, everyone on social media is trying to sell you their way. And so it's really easy to get caught up in like, well, maybe I should be doing it this way, or maybe I should try this out. And that ends up creating a lot of like frustration or unrealistic expectations or comparison that really ends up like discouraging a lot of people. And so human design is a really great way to help you kind of look at everything that you're seeing through the lens of like, okay, but what works for me? So that way you're not constantly comparing yourself or having expectations that maybe aren't aligned for you, or like trying to force yourself to do something that maybe isn't aligned for you. Like, I made a thread post the other day about how I got an email newsletter from a coach that was talking about like how to turn one offer into like a, you know, an offer that generates six-figure months. And she was talking about like her specific process. And before Human Design, I probably would have like read that and like started thinking in my head, like, oh no, I should maybe try to do it like this. And I need to think of all these ideas for this and yada, yada, yada. And that would have like completely thrown me out of alignment. But then reading it through my Human Design, like any part of that that didn't feel good to me, I knew like, okay, I don't need to like spend my energy thinking about that thing because I know it doesn't feel good. So that's not going to be something aligned for me. So I can ignore it. And then the parts that did feel good, I allowed like myself to respond to the ideas that brought it up. And then that ended up generating like an idea for one of my offers that like really lit me up and felt exciting. And so that's kind of like a way that you can use Human Design to still like get benefit out of other people's wisdom and experience and like their advice, but tailor it to yourself and not thinking that you should alter your business to fit what works for someone else.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That really struck a chord because when I started my coaching business, it was something that I was really good at, but I had never actually come out to be like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, this is what, where like my purpose sits. And for so long, people would suggest that. And I would just laugh. I'd be like, there's no way, like, I don't even believe you. Cause I was like I was at such a low place of like confidence and self-assuredness. So that when I jumped into the first program with this mentor, I was super excited. It was like a full body yes before I even knew what that felt like for me being a generator. And part of one of the modules in there was like how to market. And as I went through it, I went into like a spiral because there were steps laid out and I was trying so hard to complete each one. And it felt like I was trying to speak French to myself and be fluent in like 24 hours. It was like the most difficult thing. And I was beating myself up about it mentally, being like, why can't you do this, Kayla? Like, it's not that hard. Like, look, it's only 12 steps and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't even stop to think like, it's okay. Like, this is a suggestion. You can take it, you can leave it, you can modify it. It doesn't need to be so black and white. And it's so good to give ourselves permission to do that so that we don't spiral, so that you don't think that something's wrong with you, because there's not.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, that's a good way of putting it, is like everything we see is like a suggestion. It's not like a rule. And I think like Human Design really helps you like filter suggestions. So you know, like, okay, what's going to be aligned for me and what's not? Because a lot of people just waste a lot of time and energy on things that aren't aligned for them. And that's kind of what I want to help people get back with Human Design, is to like get your time and energy back so you can stop wasting it on things that are just gonna like have you spinning your wheels getting nowhere, and like actually spend it on things that are gonna work in your business, which is also gonna free up a lot of time and energy for you to do a lot of other stuff outside of your business that you wanna be doing. Cause I think too, at the end of the day, like, we're building a dream business so that we can have our dream life, not just put all of our time and energy into the dream business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In your opinion, what do you think is going to happen with the people in industries that show up who basically sell themselves as like a strategy, or like, this is the way to do this, and they kind of blanket it or they market it like this is a fact versus like their opinion on something? What do you think is going to happen to all those people? Not saying it's right or wrong, but you know, looking down the line, how is that going to change, or how is it going to affect things?
Yeah. I mean, I think people who show up in that way are still always going to have like some level of business, because they're basically just teaching, you know, they found whatever works, you know, in alignment with their energy, whether they know Human Design or not. And so they're just teaching other people like what works for them and what they know. And there are going to be other people who have, you know, similar Human Design stuff that will also work for them. And so it'll still be something, they'll still have a customer base for that. I just think that, I mean, I still feel like those people who show up in that way are going to also get customers who like, maybe that doesn't work for them. Cause I think all of us who go into business, it's like a rite of passage to get like
sold on something that you think is going to be the answer and it ends up not being it. Mm-hmm. And so like, I think there's always going to be people who are like new into the market or the industry or whatever, who are going to go into those type of containers who maybe that's not the best way for them. And then that'll kind of be like a learning process. But I think that people who show up in that way are probably, like, in my opinion, this is just what from I've seen with other people too, who like are still showing up in this way, is like a lot of business might either be based on like really specific type of clientele, like people who are very similar to you, or it's going to be dependent on like getting a lot of new people in the door and maybe not so much like a lot of retention with like repeat customers. So I think it's not necessarily like a wrong way to do business, but I think it's good to recognize if like you do want to show up doing business in like a very specific way and teach people what works for you, to understand that you're going to have a very specific clientele then, and that your way isn't going to necessarily work for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I totally see where you're coming from with that. With people's profile, would you say that people attract like, or are they drawn to people that have similar profiles to them, or does that have anything to do with like client attraction?
Yeah. People who have the same profile tend to be attracted to each other, because you're going to be more like someone who has the same profile than you're going to be like someone who has the same energy type. Because your profile is like, you can think of energy type as like the energy that you kind of like give out into the world and that guides you. But then your profile is how you like experience like going through life. And so people who have the same profile are going to have like very similar like perspectives on how they experience moving through life that they'll relate on. And I even think that people who have maybe not the same exact profile, but you have like a similar number. So like people who have 5 in their profile are all going to maybe relate on some level. And it is like really a big part of client attraction, because number one, like attracting people who either have the same profile or who have like similar numbers. So for example, I'm a 3-5, so I attract a lot of other 3-5s and a lot of people who have 5s in their profile. But even on like a client attraction level with, for example, you can really intentionally use your profile in the way that you show up and like market yourself and your messaging and your content, how you kind of show up in like your leadership archetype in your business. Because when you kind of intentionally lean into your profile, like that's a major attraction point too.
Okay. So would your profile be similar to like your rising sign of like, that's what people see the most? Maybe that's like the light that shines the brightest of what people can either be attracted to or not so much.
I would say you're the second number in your profile would be like more like your rising sign, because your first number in your profile is going to be more how like you see yourself. And then your second number is going to be how other people more see you. Okay. So it's kind of like combining the two of like understanding that even, you know, for me as a 3-5, even though at first I didn't really see myself in like that 5 energy as much as I saw myself in the 3 energy, understanding that like other people see me more like first as that 5. So like leaning into that, I can lean into like what people see from me when like I'm showing up to like attract more people that way.
Okay. Would you say that, I mean, both numbers are important. Is one more important than the other for someone to know about their own chart?
I wouldn't say one is more important than the other. I think it's more so just understanding like how you see those two numbers playing out in your life. And then also understanding like when it's time to embrace one over the other, because they're going to be like, we go through phases too, where, you know, for example, I might go through phases where I'm really in like the 3 experimental phase. And then I'll go through a phase where it's like, okay, I've experimented enough, like time to go into the line 5 phase and kind of like, you know, be more problem solving and then take all that experimentation and like teach it to people or help people with it. So I think it's less about like one is more important than the other and more so just understanding like, when is it time for you to utilize one maybe over the other?
Okay, so it's like a package deal then. They each have their own thing. I heard someone mention the second number being more of like an unconscious thing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. because the unconscious thing comes from, which this is kind of getting into, like, if you don't have a human design chart in front of you, it might be hard to visualize. But if you go onto like a human design website, like mybodygraph.com, I think is the easiest one that shows this. There'll be two columns on each side of the body graph that kind of show like all the planetary placements with your gates on them. And so your profile comes from your conscious sun and your unconscious sun, because there's what's called a line number after the gate. And so the second number is your unconscious sun line. And so unconscious just means that you always have that energy there and it's always like doing its thing. You're just not always consciously aware of it. Similar to like, we're always breathing. We're just not always consciously aware, or we don't have to always like consciously try and breathe. Like we're always breathing. So that's kind of like what the second number is. And that's why a lot of times you'll say that you might not see yourself as that second number as much as other people do, because like, you know, if your second number is a five, you're always a five and exuding that five energy. So other people are going to see it. You're just not consciously aware of that five energy all the time.
Okay. So with marketing, is there a way that you use both numbers to market, mm-hmm. like to show the experiences and then show, like you were saying, like for fives, it'd be like problem solving or like solutions and things like that. Like you kind of utilize them both about how you present things outwardly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, like you can use them both intentionally. So for example, with mine, like sharing a lot of my experiences and like mistakes I've made and like trial and errors, and then kind of share them in like a solution or problem solving based like perspective of kind of, you know, I made all the mistakes so you don't have to. So I can teach you what does and doesn't work, and you can kind of skip the steps. It's kind of like a way that I would present it. And then also I think that when it comes to doing like inner work for your marketing, that a lot of people sometimes need to work on like having an identity shift around their second number, because we don't really see ourselves as that second number. Sometimes people can like underutilize that second number in their marketing because they don't see themselves in that way, when like that's something that like you do actually want to really like lean into, because that's how other people are really seeing you.
Okay. That's so good to know. And I'll have that website linked below for anyone who's listening, who's curious. It kind of cut out for a second when you were given the URL, but that way anyone can go check it out if they haven't already. How can someone use their human design chart to highlight the advantages that they would have, like in either creating a business, building their business, or like building themselves to be successful in what they're putting out into the world?
Yeah. So many parts of your chart can be used. Cause I think sometimes people like equate it to astrology, where you could maybe pick out like a more specific astrological placement for like something specific. Like, you know, if I wanted to look at client attraction, I would look at like my Venus sign and my astrology chart, versus like if you asked me the same question for human design, I would be like, well, you can look at this and then you can look at that and then you can look at all these different things. And so I think like a lot of it just depends on like the specific thing someone wants to do and like the phase that they're in business-wise and just energetic-wise in their business. But things like one, the strategy and authority is like a really good place to start. I would say like your defined energy centers are also a really good place to start, because that's kind of like your strengths and the consistent energy that you can rely on. And it's kind of like when you're showing up in your business, it's the energy that you're giving out to people and the energy that people want from you. And so that's really great for understanding like, you know, what am I really good at? What am I good at teaching? What am I good at giving other people? And what's the energy that I can rely on? And then you can look at specific gates in your chart too, that can kind of tell you even more specific information about like what to create your business on and what maybe specific offers are going to be best for you, or like topics or themes, or kind of like what is the work you're meant to do in your business. You can get more specific when it comes to like specific gates like that.
Okay. So for gates, how would you describe, I mean, I know what you're talking about because I've seen like the photos, but what's the difference between that and a channel?
Yeah. So the gates, if you're looking at a human design chart for anyone who's listening, you'll notice in your energy centers, there's different numbers and those numbers are gates. And any number that is colored in, like has this filled in circle around it, means that like you have that gate defined. So you can think of that as like your gift, like it's a very specific energy and theme. And then the lines running in between the different gates are channels. And so a channel is only when you have both gates defined. So you have the full channel colored in. If you see like a half channel, it's not, you don't actually have the channel. It's just called a hanging gate. So the full channel is you have both the energies of those gates that kind of create like a constant energetic current between those two gates that create like this kind of like, what's the best way to put it? Complete flow of energy between those two themes that kind of create, I feel like it's hard to like explain, like the, it doesn't create like a completely different energy than those two gates. It's like you have a like seamless compatibility of like energetic flow between the gifts of those two gates that you have to use at your disposal, if that makes sense.
Okay. So you almost like use them together. Make the best out of it. Okay.
So yeah,
it's like a package deal
kind of thing. So you're using those together because, you know, the opposite, if you had just a gate but you didn't have the full channel, you have like you can rely on the gift of the gate you do have, but sometimes it can create this feeling of you're missing that other gate. And so sometimes people will unconsciously try and like chase that energy of the missing gate rather than focus on the energy that they do have access to with the gate that's defined versus the channel is like you have both of those energies flowing. So it creates like a sense of completeness with those two energies.
Okay. So, and the ones that you, someone would have would be colored in, you said they would be like defined, right?
Yeah. And so the full like channel between the two energy centers would be fully colored in if it meant that you had the full channel. If it's just like the halfway, you just have the gate, but not the channel.
Okay, cool. You mentioned something about a hanging gate. Would that mean that someone just really can tap into like the energy of that gate that it's attached to? Or what do they do with that? Because I've seen that on a few different people's things and I'm like, I don't know. I'm no expert. I have no idea.
Yeah, hanging gate just means that you have that one gate defined, but you don't have the full channel. So you just like are meant to focus on like the gift of that gate you have defined instead of chasing the missing gate that you don't have that would like, you know, complete the channel if you did have that other gate defined, is basically just what that means.
Okay. If someone was chasing it, what do you have an example of like something that you've found from like a client of like how they were doing that or how does that show up? Is it like them trying to make something out of like nothing that's there or how does that kind of work?
Yeah, it can show up in a few ways. I would say the two main ways that that can show up is it can be one, this feeling that like you're missing that energy of the gate you don't have. And so you're constantly like trying to overcompensate it and chase it. And that can look like being underactive in the energy of the gate that you do have defined. So like not really utilizing that gift and instead trying to like make yourself have the energy of the gate that you don't have, which is like, will throw you out of alignment. And then you're trying to like have energy that you really don't have. And then you're also not using the energy that you do have. Can see people like, instead of maybe chasing the gate that's missing, they like still have that feeling like this gate is missing, but they, instead of trying to get that energy, they're like overactive in the gate that they do have to try and compensate for like, okay, I don't have this energy, so I'll just overdo it in this other energy to try and make up for it. Mm-hmm. And I would say the third way that it can show up is even when we have gates that are undefined, like we still can experience that energy because that means we're just experiencing the energy of that gate through other people in the outside world. And so sometimes it's not that like you're not good in that, you know, energetic theme or like you're like bad at it or anything like that. It just means that like that energy comes and goes for you. And so I also can see people believe that they're not good at whatever like the theme is of the gate that they don't have. And then that can kind of create like an energetic block where For example, gate two is like the gate of receiving. And so a lot of times I see clients who don't have gate two, especially if they have gate 14, have this belief that they're really bad at receiving. And like that kind of comes from the fact of like, you feel like that energy is missing. So then sometimes it's not necessarily you need to lean into the gate you do have, but you need to reprogram the beliefs and your identity around what you think not having this gate means for you.
Mm-hmm. I love how you put that. That explains so much, because I only like to listen to people that are experts on this, because there's a lot of people too that just don't quite maybe understand how everything works together. And like with your experience, like, you know, all the ins and outs, like you can find someone an answer about just about anything, which is really cool. What are your favorite types of solutions to provide or things to work through, like with your clients? I know you offer like different sessions and different programs, like you're doing a membership too, which is so cool. But do you have any like favorites of like, ooh, yes, I love helping people with like this thing?
Yeah, I really like helping people with the business stuff, because I like that's the thing that really pushed me to get into human design, because I was frustrated with my own business. And so I really like helping other people have like the same kind of transformation that I had through human design in my business. I really like, kind of like my special gift is like, you could talk to me and I could be looking at your human design chart and pick out like exactly where in your chart that's coming from, which is really helpful because it also helps you know what to focus on in your chart. Because a lot of times I see people think that if they just learn more information about their human design chart, it'll click. And that's not really helpful, because you could be looking at things that have like nothing to do with what you're experiencing right now. And so I really like doing that, because I think it creates like the biggest impact and like the best results for people. Because then, like, you know, instead of looking at 10 different parts of your chart, like maybe it's just coming from like this root center. And I also like helping people, like you said, understand how the different things are working together, because a lot of times it's not just one piece of your chart. Like, your entire chart is communicating with each other and influencing each other. And so a lot of times it's multiple pieces of your chart playing into something that someone is experiencing. And I think helping people understand like how those different parts are interacting with each other really helps them have like a good understanding of their chart then, and how to actually work with it on a practical level, which is one of the things I like helping people work with the most too, is what does this look like when you're actually practicing it in your daily life or in your business or something like that? Because that's how people are actually going to get the most use out of it. Especially because, you know, social media, human design, like you can only share like so much on social media because it's so nuanced. So like that usually means that we're looking at a chart and like an individual piece. But that doesn't mean that when it comes to actually working with human design to break it down into individual pieces. And I think that's where sometimes people feel like there's a gap when they're trying to understand their human design, is because they are just looking at it as like, you know, just one center or just one gate, when a lot of the times, like whatever they're trying to use it for has, you know, needs to combine multiple pieces of their chart that are actually communicating with each other, that are creating that energetic experience.
Mm-hmm. That's so powerful. So it's not just like one piece. It's how it all kind of blends and works together can like really make a big difference. Say someone's feeling stuck. Maybe it's in their business. Maybe it's just in life in general. Maybe they're having an awakening, or they're just at this fork in the road and they don't know. They don't know what to do. They don't really have any direction. They just want to pull themselves out of this funk. What would you recommend for them besides booking a session and contacting you in the DMs directly? What advice would you give for them?
I would say, especially from a human design perspective, dive into learning about your energy type and your strategy. I think that would help people kind of start at least understanding like what energetically works for them. And I think that will help people start also to be able to look at okay, once I understand, for example, that as a generator, I'm meant to do things that like physically light me up and excite me, then you can look at, okay, so like, what am I doing in my business that like doesn't physically light me up and excite me or like drains my energy? And then that can kind of help you navigate, okay, so then maybe if I remove X, Y, and Z from my business now, I will feel like unstuck and things will flow better. So I think that's a really great way for people to kind of like start to look at things. Cause I think too, if you try and like get unstuck by just like thinking that you can think your way out of it, that's how people feel more stuck. And human design is kind of meant to help you get out of your head too and get into, okay, what is my energy telling me that I need? Cause usually too, your energy is already trying to tell you what's not working and what to do instead. You just don't know how to listen to it or like what the language of your energy is. And so human design is kind of like teaching you the language of your energy.
Okay. I love that because a lot of us are prone to overthinking, or at least that might just be me, but
I am too.
Yeah. It's been something that I have to continuously remind myself of no, drop into your body. What is your nervous system telling you? Like, I can't think my way out of it. Like, logic doesn't really get you anywhere except you trying to force something when it doesn't have to be that way a lot of times.
Yeah, exactly.
I pulled up my chart here because I forgot what this is called, but I wanted to hear your perspective on the incarnation cross.
Yeah. So incarnation cross, it's made out of your conscious sun and earth and your unconscious sun and earth gates. And this is kind of like your life purpose or destiny. There's over 100 incarnation crosses out there. So like it's hard to remember the definition of all of them. Mm-hmm. And so I like to break them down into like the separate gates. It's not the same as your North Node, but I just want to give like the example of how it could be seen as similar. Because when you think about your incarnation cross, one, when you learn about it, you'll probably notice like how that has been a theme throughout your life. And two, it's one of those things where like you don't really have to do anything to like live your incarnation cross. Like if you're living in alignment with your human design, your incarnation cross will find you on its own. So I kind of tell people like it's really good at understanding kind of like the theme of your life's destiny or like purpose. I wouldn't really call it a destiny because in my own experience too, like I can see how my incarnation cross has like played throughout my life since I was a kid. So like, it's not really like my destiny, but it's more, how can you understand your purpose and then what that might mean for like your relationships, your career, your business, your family, things like that.
Okay. Okay, cool. Yeah. Cause when you hear that, you don't hear about it a ton. And I didn't know there was so many different, it's very specific. Yeah. I didn't know there was so many options, but I think people almost take it like a little too far. And they're like, okay, it's only this. This is like all I'm going to look at. And I'm like, wait, hold on though. Like you have all these other bits of information. I think that it's presented to you as a whole, you know, to use together, not like so singled out, like separately.
Yeah. Even with incarnation cross, like when I work with clients or do readings, I don't really do necessarily like a deep dive into incarnation cross, more so just kind of like a brief explanation, because it's like one of those things where like I can tell you what it means, but like there's not really much for you to like do with it except like follow these other parts of your human design we're talking about, and it will naturally like evolve for you. You don't have to try. If anything, like I usually tend to like dive into like one of the gates within the incarnation cross that's going to be like the most relevant for them at like whatever phase they're at in their life or business or whatever like specific topic that we're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense how you can like loop that into what you're trying to explain to them.
Yeah.
If someone was trying to make more money, just as a blanket statement, if they were trying to make more money, is there something specific that they can look at? Or is there a certain service that you offer that is just in that realm of what to look for in their chart or like what they can learn from you to tap into that more? Say like maybe they feel like abundance blocks or whatever it's called.
Yeah. You can look at a lot of different stuff in your human design chart for that. I actually have a session called Human Design Money Formula Sessions. which is like, I created like a money formula based on like specific parts of your chart that are like most important to look at for money and like how to look at those parts of your chart from the perspective of money. So that would include like what it means for like your energy type for money. You're using like your signature as a way to manifest money, looking at the heart center specifically, because one of the themes of that center is material desires. And so that's a huge center for money. So understanding how you're meant to relate to money and work for money based on if you have that center defined or undefined is really important if you want to use your human design for more money and abundance. And then also looking at what kind of money blocks or money shadows you could have based on which energy centers you have defined or undefined. And then there are specific gates that you can also look at in your chart for money too, like your Jupiter gates, the gates, if you have gates defined in like your heart center, for example, those can tell you even more about how to use that center and those gates specifically for money. Your gates in your spleen center can tell you like maybe fears you have around money. Your gates in your G center can tell you like how to embody abundance and wealth in a more aligned way. So there's a lot of different ways that you can break down a human design chart to look at it for money.
Okay, cool. I'll make sure we'll have like your Instagram and everything linked below. That way people can get in touch with you for that or for any of your other offers. Cause I love how you market them. Cause you post about it every day. And I love that you're just always like serving your community. Like here's how I can help you. Here's this, here's that. And you offer like all these different ways to like jump into your world in like a seamless way. And the way you market, obviously you know what you're doing, but the way you market, it just makes more sense. I think I even messaged that to you before, like in the DMs of like, wow, the way you explained this resonates so much better, at least for me. Maybe it's because we're similar. Like I'm a 3-5 generator too. So I'm just like I'm like picking up what you're throwing down, but it's one thing to like have information in front of you, but it's a different thing to like fully understand it in a way that like does not, you know, you're not burning calories in your mind trying to understand it. So I love how you word things. If anyone hasn't had you on Instagram yet, they better add you because it's just so helpful, the stuff that you share. With the defined versus undefined centers, if it's undefined, I know you mentioned that like the energy like wouldn't be as consistent or like reliable. Mm-hmm. Is there something that people can keep in mind, like depending on their chart, but like which ones are undefined? Is there a different way they can use those, or is there something just to like keep in mind that way, like they don't create this out of alignment energy towards what they're working on?
Yeah. So yeah, like you said, with undefined centers, it's where your energy is inconsistent and unreliable. It's where you can be more like flexible. And so I look at it as like, this is where you're taking in energy from like other people. So this is also where you can tend to be most conditioned because, for example, if like you're a business owner and you have an undefined throat, like you're meant to only speak when you actually have something to say and you're not going to maybe speak or have something to say like on a consistent basis. But like if you're around someone who has a defined throat, who's like throwing up 40 sales story slides a day on Instagram, like, and you're constantly consuming that, you could be like conditioned to think, oh, maybe I should be like that, even though you don't naturally feel that's how you are. And so it's really good to understand like, what are the not self like themes and patterns and kind of like self talk in my undefined centers. That way you can be aware of like when it kind of comes up, because with undefined centers, it's always going to come up unless you like are a monk at the top of a mountain completely by yourself and like isolated from the world and you're not consuming anything from anyone. Like you're always going to have the pressure and the not self thoughts and stuff come up from your undefined centers. It's more about learning to recognize them and recognize that that's not how you're actually supposed to be, and like redirect yourself to like what is an alignment for you. Because it's not that you'll never experience that energy. It's more so, I just like to look at it as like you experience that energy in more of like an ebb and flow, like come and go. And that's where you're meant to kind of like surrender and like trust the universe more instead of trying to force yourself to have that energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I have a real life example of this because my throat center is undefined. And in January, I did a free masterclass based on intuition. And I talked about certain apps and things like the Pattern app and ways that people can start to learn a little bit more about their astrology. Not that I'm an expert, but these things have helped me, like Human Design, to tap into more of that. And I kid you not, I finished this masterclass in like 3 days. I had the date set. I kept waiting and waiting, and I work on it here and there. And then it just like hit me of like, okay, like it was like on, how do I describe this? It was like, I don't know if anyone's ever played video games. I haven't since I was a little kid, but the like rainbow bridge on Mario Kart where you're like in the car and you're zooming through. That's how it felt for 3 days. I was just so on fire of like, so many ideas coming through, and it was so easy for me to just sit at my computer, and that's all I wanted to do. It wasn't like, oh, I'm forcing myself. I was in this euphoric bubble of just like go, 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 and I'll get waves of ideas where I can write down 40 ideas in one day, and then I can go a week without, you know, anything. And yeah. It's normal now, but before I used to be like, what's wrong with me? Why do I feel like this? Or how can she post 3 times a day? And I just don't want to. I don't even have that in me to give.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think like, especially as like a business owner, I couldn't imagine now like running a business and not knowing my human design, because it's so much simpler to not have to like stress yourself over, should I be doing that? Like, should I be showing up this much? Like, should I be saying more? Because like, I used to be the same way too, where I have an undefined throat center as well. And I used to feel like I had to like constantly find something to say, even if I didn't have anything to say. And then I would like feel like crap after like posting something where I just like said something because I felt like I needed to. I launched a mastermind earlier this year. And, you know, usually like you see people when they're launching like big things, like every day they're showing up with like, you know, a whole story of like something about their offer and like a whole spiel of like getting people in. And like towards the tail end of like the launch, I just really didn't have anything like extra to say, but I wanted to like at least still show up and like create the opportunity for people to hear about it and like get in. And so one day I was like, because sometimes I'll set the intention of like, okay, I don't have anything to say now, but I know I want to say something, you know, to sell this offer. So I kind of like put the intention out there, and then I'll wait to see like if I get anything to respond to that kind of like inspires me to like have something to say. And so I did that one day, and like the whole day went by and just like nothing was coming to me, but I was like, I still want to like put a story up or something. So I just put a story up and said like, I honestly have nothing fancy to tell you about this mastermind, except I'm just really excited about it. And like, here's the link, and like, to get all the information, like, here you go. And like, someone bought from that. So like, that's kind of like, you know, if you went to maybe like someone who's a very strategic business coach, they might say like, no, you need to like, make sure you hit like this point and this point and this point. But like, if you really don't have something to say, or like, if it, you know, doesn't feel like good as an undefined throat person in human design, like it's not going to give you the result you want. Even if someone, you know, says like, this is what works, it's not going to work for you. And then you're just going to end up being like frustrated and then not have the client or the sale that you want anyways. And so kind of just like trusting yourself to just like do things your way and like do things that work for you, even if you don't see anyone else doing it like that, even if you're like, oh, this might not work, like it's probably going to work a lot better. And I think that's also just like the 3-5 in me that's just kind of like, I've started approaching business where I don't really take anything that seriously anymore. And I just like try a bunch of random stuff. And I'm like, if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And it's like a learning experience and I move on. And that's kind of like what you have to do in human design for your business, is like you have to just kind of like experiment with what, you know, is in alignment with your human design and like to see the results of it. You can't like, you know, think your way through it, just like you can't think your way out of being like stagnant or stuck.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You have to feel into it. Like feeling is, the energy is so much more powerful. And like you were saying about you felt like you had to show up in this way, but you had nothing to say besides like, I am excited. Here's my offer. Here's the service. Is there, well, the energy behind anything is more potent than what you're saying. I even believe that. Like I made a post a couple weeks ago and I was like, it's not always what you do that creates more success, but it's the energy behind it. If it feels forced or you're just like, and like your shoulders are like all like up to your ears and you feel anxious, people are going to feel that. Yeah. Like more times than not. And you want to feel good about what you're doing. Is there a spot that you, how do I phrase this? Is there a way that you help someone determine, say if they're a coach, like mm-hmm. what offers they're best to create from using their chart? Or is it better for everyone to just kind of experiment to see what feels the best or what they have the most success in?
I think it really, there's like a lot of different ways. I would say my answer would be like a combination of all those options. For example, if I was coaching a client who had a 3 in their profile, I would tell them like, just try things out. Like that's going to be the fastest way for you to figure out what does and doesn't work for you is just to do it and then like let it not work. And then like, at least you know. I would say like the number one thing is like, I always tell people that like, even if I make suggestions in your chart based on like what's in your human design, you still use your authority to determine if like that is aligned for you specifically. Cause I could say that, you know, based on having a defined root center, helping people with these specific things as a coach might work for you. You know, it might be aligned for like one defined root person, but maybe doesn't feel aligned for like another defined root person. So I can look at like your defined energy centers or specific gates or like other things in your chart that might tell you that like, you know, this specific type of offer might be aligned, or like this approach to an offer, or like these topics within an offer might be most aligned for you. But at the end of the day, I'm also going to like guide them on using their authority to make that decision for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So at the end of the day, still using your intuition to let suggestions come in and you can let them go, or you can take them, whatever feels best for you.
Yeah. Because even at the end of the day, like if I'm telling you something about your human design, like it's still a suggestion. I always tell my clients, like anytime I tell them something, if they're like, oh, what am I chart says for this? I'll tell them, but then I'll be like, but you use your authority to decide how that feels for you. What about what I said, like feels aligned for you? Because it's also very much like up to I don't want to say up to interpretation, but it's still very much based on like how each individual person experiences their human design. So like, even though you and me are both like 3-5 generators, like we still have parts in our chart that are going to differ from each other. And so we're still going to have our own experiences as 3-5 generators that are different. So like, what someone might say is like general advice for like a 3-5 generator, we might take different ways just depending on what ends up being like the most aligned for us individually.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I saw someone mention something on their post about how 3-5s, it's easy to take something that you just learned and like, and run with it. And I was like, I don't think so. That doesn't seem like, maybe it's just like a personal thing, but it's, again, it's like those blanket statements of like, take it or leave it. It's just someone's opinion or, you know, something that they've experienced themselves.
Yeah. Cause I think too, like everyone who teaches human design, well, I don't want to say everyone who teaches human design, because there are some people who are like on it just for the bandwagon. And then there are some people who teach it through a very like individual approach in terms of like the individual pieces of the chart and not like how the chart flows together. And then like, but still like people are kind of, you know, your experience of teaching human design is like obviously going to be based off of like how you learned human design and like the different things that you've researched, your own personal experience based on your chart. And then like the types of different parts of human design you've been exposed to through like client work. So like when I first started doing human design, a lot of my, you know, opinions and teachings were based off of like what I learned and my personal human design. But like as I've worked with like all my different clients and I've had like exposure to seeing how different pieces of human design works, I can understand that maybe someone who's a 3-5 that has gate 16 defined would think that about being a 3-5. But if you don't have gate 16 defined and you're a 3-5, maybe you don't resonate with like, oh, I'm going to take something I just learned and like run with it. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like understanding how, like, especially if you're going to be like a human design teacher or use it, how someone's experience of their human design might be totally different from yours, and like be able to look at it from that perspective, not just teach based off of your perspective of human design from your personal experience.
Yeah, it's almost like a lens that you see the world in, like your perspective and whatever. Yeah. It's even like when you go to read auras, like you have to look through yours to see someone else's. So like it can change how it looks. And I feel like that's common with a lot of things, because our perspective tells us everything. Like you can have two people go to the same place and one person is like, this was so magical, the food was amazing, blah, blah, blah. And the next person is like, the server was rude and blah, blah, blah. But like they had different experiences, but they were at the same place, like at the same time. So it's just interesting how that works.
Yeah.
What current offers do you have coming up, or what do you have currently that you are super excited about that you want to share with us?
Yeah. So obviously I have one-on-one sessions. I have human design readings, which are like just general human design readings, especially for people who are new to human design. I have the money sessions like I talked about, and I have business specific human design sessions. But I'm launching a membership this month, which I'm very excited about. I haven't officially decided on the name yet, so I can't, but it'll be the only membership I have. So like when it launches, you literally can't miss it. But you can think of this membership as going to be basically like Hogwarts for using human design and astrology for like business and money.
I love it. That is so cool. Do you have a set date of when that's coming out, or is it still in the works?
The like tentative date is April 20th, but okay. I have an undefined root center, so I don't like to commit to dates because it can always change. But yeah, that is our target launch date.
Okay, perfect. That is so cool. That's so exciting. I love that you're doing a membership as well, as people can like deep dive into specific things that they're looking for, or like a general reading. What are you going to have like in your membership? What would be things that people are going to learn or be able to utilize in that space with you?
Yeah. So we're going to break down a lot of different human design and astrology stuff by different themes, and kind of so people can take time to actually integrate different parts of their charts. There's still going to be a lot of information there, but like I'm really big on implementation over like information. So really helping people break down like, okay, let's take your profile, for example, and like how can you use it for like branding, or how do you sell with your profile? So like kind of taking down these different astrology and human design components and like how you can apply them to more specific things when it comes to business and money. But also there's going to be a live aspect of live Q&A calls and weekly live office hour Q&As, so people can like ask also specific questions about their chart and get like specific and personalized answers to their chart. So it's not just necessarily general human design information, but like also getting to be like, you know, I have this defined gate with this undefined center. Like, how is this affecting me? Like when I am creating an offer or like something like that. So it's a really good place for not just learning like overall human design and astrology stuff, but to also get like that personalized guidance based on your unique chart.
Mm-hmm. I love that you put it like that. And they're also going to be able to stay plugged in, because I feel like as you learn more about your chart, you're going to have more questions. You're going to have like different layers that you reach that you may think of things and you totally will, that you didn't think about 6 months before, because you're working with something different. So it's a good way to like stay consistent and to not just learn as like reading something or like looking at information, but to actually integrate it into what you're doing, because that's like really learning, is you're modifying your actions and then getting a different result with it.
Yeah, especially because like there's so many layers to human design and astrology, and you could look at it through so many different angles. And like I see this membership as like, obviously I'm a Sagittarius sun, but I also have a Sagittarius Mercury in midheaven. I really enjoy just teaching all the information and knowledge I have on all these things. So I also see this as a space to just kind of teach everything I know and teach all the different ways to use an energy center, or how to go back and peel back the layers to certain parts of your chart. Because even for me, like, human design and astrology isn't like you work on a gate for a month and then you're done. Like, you go back to things over and over again. You see them in a new way over and over again. They're going to evolve as you evolve. And so the way you worked with like one gate or energy center in the past, you might like 3 years later come back to it and like see it in a completely different way and like work with it in a new way. So it's one of those things where it's like, you're constantly working with it and you're constantly going to be coming back to like the same things over and over again. So I see it as like this hub for people to kind of like have this home base to like soak up knowledge and like implement and experiment and like come back to things and ask questions and just kind of learn more about like themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a tool that keeps on giving. It's like a place they can stay plugged into. I'm excited for that. That sounds incredible. And like the next evolution of your brand. And I'm just, it sounds amazing. So times you've talked about it, I'm like, yes, I could totally see how this is just going to explode with fireworks and confetti and all the good stuff. So that'll be exciting.
Thank you.
What is a, besides your business, because we love that, what is a current resource or something that you love to do outside of your business currently? Could be a book, could be a show, could be like a hobby.
Yeah. I recently, I don't know why it took me this long, but I recently discovered the show Desperate Housewives, which I know is like so old by now. But I like knew about it, but I never bothered to like watch it. And then I just started watching it and I've been hooked, and I watch like several episodes a day. It's kind of my guilty pleasure right now. That, and I really have been like getting back into reading, because after years of only reading like self-help and personal development and business and money books, I was like, I need like a creative break. And so last year I got back into like fantasy reading and fiction reading. And so that's kind of been like my big outlet or hobby for the past like year and a half too.
Okay. Do you have any good like fantasy books or series that like, how are your favorites that you'd recommend?
This is going to sound so basic. The ACOTAR series, I finished that. It took me like a year to read the whole series. So I finished that at the beginning of this year. And I really enjoyed that. So I've just been kind of like working my way through the Sarah J. Maas multiverse of her different series. And I started Crescent City. And I'm like trying to push my way through the first 100 pages of that book. But yeah, that has, I would say like that has probably been my favorite so far, just because it's like the series that really got me back into reading fiction and reading fantasy.
Okay, cool. That's good to know. Cause I actually have also been at that point where I have so many books of information and logic and like superhuman books by Joe Dispenza, where it's like you feel like you're reading a scientific pamphlet. I love it, but it's just it's a lot of like focus reading, and I want to find different books that maybe are not just based on like what I can take from it and apply, but almost like a hobby, like a lighthearted way to, you know, take an hour out in the sun and by the pool and just relax with a book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I really like that. And I honestly think it's like, I think when you have like a business, like it's so easy to make it consume everything, especially when we have like spiritual based businesses, where a lot of what we do in our business also revolves around like things we do for ourselves and like practice and embody for ourselves. So it's really easy for it to consume like the majority of our life and like day. So I think having like things that have nothing to do with like your business and spirituality that you can have as outlets are really important, especially as spiritual business owners. And I think it also makes like your business a lot easier, because you're also giving your business room to breathe and like not just like constantly be doing something that, you know, can be related back to your business.
Yeah, you almost like become like a better business owner, and that your business just becomes maybe more fun and not so like you're working such long hours, like you almost like dread putting in all this time and things into stuff. So it's good to have balance. It's important to enjoy like working out and like, you know, taking care of your body and stuff outside of what you're doing. So I love that so much. I know where to find you, but where can everyone else find you and more of your work?
The best place to find me is on Instagram at Megan Sin, and all my links for everything are there in my bio. My DMs are always open, so I love when people come and say hi or if people have questions about anything. But yeah, those are the best places to find me, to find all my offers. Everything's listed on there, so yeah.
I'll have everything linked below for our audience. This was so much fun. I appreciate you and your knowledge and your expertise around astrology, around human design. We talked so much about money and business and life in general and how to utilize someone's chart to their full advantage. Thank you so much for coming on, Megan. This was so much fun.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you.